All right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning, and hope you have your Bibles with you. If you do, let's go and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 is our chapter for this morning. Isaiah chapter number 55. There's 13 verses in the chapter. We'll read over those this morning. I think my lesson was to cover chapter 54, 55, and 56, but we're going to just go with chapter number 55 this morning. And look here at a very important doctrine here in chapter number 55. Hope you had a good week this past week. Beautiful day today. And a lot cooler temperatures yesterday and today. And look forward to this new week that lies ahead. And let's do pray and ask for God's blessings on the day and the week that we have in front of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you once again. As we come to this place and at this time, at this hour, we ask, Lord, for your help, for your blessing upon what we are going to partake of here for the next 2 hours. As we come this morning, unite together, we pray for your blessings upon this hour. And then, Lord, we pray for the service this morning. And, Lord, even the service this evening, we pray for your blessings upon the preaching and the teaching of your word and the fellowship of your people. We pray for your blessings there. Lord, we do come to you this morning and ask for the help upon those who have prayer requests this morning. We pray that you would once again, Lord, meet the needs of your people, that you would supply those needs, and we pray for your will to be done there in the lives of your people. We do pray, Lord, for our nation once again and for the week that lies ahead. We pray for your blessings upon our life, that as we go out into this world, that we could do your will and the purpose that you have for us. We pray that you would empower us so that, Lord, in return, we can do your will. Lord, we need your wisdom. We need your help. We need your guidance. And, Lord, we pray for that this morning as well. We pray for the lost this morning that needs to be saved. We pray for the salvation of the souls that are without Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would help to use us, Lord, to have an impact on people, that they would see their need of salvation, Lord, before it's eternally too late. We do pray, Lord, once again for our missionaries as they serve around the world. We pray that you would supply their needs again, that you would help them. We pray for our church. We pray for the ministries of our church, for the needs of our church this morning, that you would help and supply those as well. We pray now that you bless as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55 this morning. We'll look here at this chapter. You're going to find that in this chapter, it is going to deal, if you would, with the subject of salvation. And it's interesting here. We'll just get right into it this morning. In chapter 55 of Isaiah, verse number 1, you'll find that the verse begins with a word, H-O. That word is only found 3 times that I can find in the Word of God. It is found, of course, here in the book of Isaiah. It's also found once in the book of Ruth and once that I can find in the book of Zechariah. I've read this verse, I've read this chapter many, many times, and I've never really paid much attention to the very first word, ho, H-O. It says here, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, everybody likes something that's for free. And you'll find here that it's dealing with the subject of salvation here, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but it begins with the word H-O. So I went back and I was studying a little bit this morning, trying to find out what is that word? What does that word mean? Why is it in this verse? As I study, I can only find it listed, as I mentioned to you, 3 times in the Bible. And it is a word that is used as what we would maybe call as an attention getter. The word means you need to listen. You better pay attention. You better heed every word that's about to be said, because in this chapter, it is dealing with the subject of salvation. And there's no greater subject in all of the history of mankind than the subject of salvation. So the word ho here means basically to the reader or to the ones that are receiving the message, you need to cup your hand around your ear. You don't need to miss a word. You better pay attention. You better grasp everything that's about to be said, because what's going to be said here is going to be the message here of salvation, and you don't need to misunderstand it. You need to hear it. You need to know exactly what it says, because the subject is of most importance And that is the subject of salvation here. So that's what the word ho means. The word H-O means listen very carefully. It's an attention getter. It's trying to grab your attention. It's saying you better pay attention here to what is about to be said. Now, the message of this chapter is going to be the message of salvation, the message of encouragement, and the message of hope. Now, salvation is a message of encouragement. The message of salvation is a message of hope, if you would, to all the people for all time. There's no message any greater and more important than the message of salvation. So that's why Isaiah uses this one little word that is so rarely used in all the Bible, because he wants to make sure that those that are out there hears what he is about to say in chapter number 55. Because this message is the most important message that's ever going to be given to mankind. Now, with that being said, this morning, it kind of makes me realize this morning the importance of the message of salvation. Now, we all know this morning that there are many churches in every community in the United States of America, and we're no exception this morning. There's all kinds of what we call churches, or all kinds of different types of religion present in our communities around our homes here and in our state, our county, our city, and then, of course, the United States of America. But, you know, it makes you realize how important that the message of salvation must be carried out by the people of God. And I'm afraid that this morning that those churches or those people have become very, very scarce in believing in what Isaiah is going to give here in chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah. Some important facts that we'll find here. And in this chapter, we are dealing with the message of salvation, not only to the people of Isaiah's day, but to the world, if you would, for all of time, the message of salvation here. Let's look here real quickly. You'll find beginning in verse number 1, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. You'll find here it says, come ye to the waters. Now, we find here that it's talking and using an illustration here of one, or a picture of one that is thirsty that needs a drink of water. And they are invited to come to get that drink of water. Now, Jesus Christ used the same illustration. You'll find even when he was witnessing to the woman at the well, he used water at that point because it was a good illustration to use, because there was a well there and she had come to draw water out of the well. But even here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse number 1, we find the same illustration used once again to a person that is without Christ, who is thirsty for an answer. They may be able to come and drink of the water freely, that it being the water of salvation to those that are thirsty. So we find here that in verse number 1, that it's interesting that you'll find as you read on in the verse here, there is no price to be paid for this water. It is completely free. Now, we are firm believers this morning that salvation is a free gift offered unto all that will call upon the name of the Lord. Now, there are people this morning, even in our own community, that do not believe that. They believe there are stipulations or points added to it, that you've got to do this, or you've got to accomplish this, or you've got to do this and so forth in order to have salvation. But if you read the Word of God in any depth, you'll find that salvation is a free gift. And there is no price tag. You'll find at the end of verse number 1, it says, by milk and wine and milk, talking about the water as well, without money and without price. There's no amount of money that could actually purchase salvation. There's not enough wealth in this world. If we accumulated all the wealth of the world and put it together, it still wouldn't be enough to buy salvation. Salvation's free. It's a free gift. So we find here in verse number 1 that it is free. There is no work or price attached to it. It is a gift. You see, grace is not grace if there is a price attached to it this morning. That's why we call it grace. Our church this morning is called Grace Baptist Church. We use the word grace even on describing who we are as a church here. And grace is free this morning. So we find here that in chapter 55, verse number 1, Isaiah says, listen, you got to pay attention. He uses the word whole. Very first word, H-O, it's an attention getter. It means listen up, pay attention. You cannot miss anything about what I'm about to give you here. And so he begins talking a little bit about salvation. He compares it to water. He compares a lost person to one that is thirsty. The one that is thirsty needs the water. Guess what? The water is available to you. It is free. There is no price. There's no work attached to it. There's no stipulation that you've got to do this, this, and this in order to get it. And you'll find as you read through the chapter, all you do is ask for it. And it goes on. So we find here in verse number 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth. So that's everyone, meaning anyone. It's available to all. It's available to all of mankind. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your status financially may be. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It is going to be available to all if you would. And you may come, and it is going to be without money and without price. So you don't have to pay it, buy it. You don't have to pay for it. All you've got to be able to do here is receive it, and we'll get to that in just a moment. In verse number 2, it says here, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You see, many people in the day that Isaiah was living, a lot of even good people had spent their money on things that did not bring the soul satisfaction. I mean, it didn't satisfy, I should say this morning, their soul, and they still hungered, and they still thirst, and they did not have salvation. And God's people had not been accepting the free offer of salvation. And still today, there are people that do not accept the free offer of salvation that's given unto them. And they'll try to be happy in life, but you are not going to be happy outside of Jesus Christ this morning. I believe this morning that God designed us in such a way that there will always be a yearning, there will always be an emptiness in the soul of an individual that does not have Christ as their Savior. And they'll spend money and they'll try to buy happiness and they'll try to buy a new car thinking that will satisfy them. They'll buy a new home. They'll go on a vacation. They'll buy things in this world thinking that it would help satisfy their soul. But you're not going to be satisfied outside of salvation through Jesus Christ. And then you'll find, it's interesting here, we get to verse number 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, I'm not going to go in through the covenant of David and so forth, but I want to take the first part of verse number 3 where it tells us, incline your ear. And then you also find the word hear in verse number 3 as well. Now, you have to notice and understand here the first part of understanding that you have a need. Your need is salvation, and also to know what the answer for your need is, being Jesus Christ, you've got to be able to hear. You've got to listen to the message. And there's a lot that we could maybe emphasize here in verse number 3 this morning, but I'd like to just say this morning. The message that we give through this church is extremely important. It's important because if we don't give the right message and people hear something that's not the right message, then they could believe in something that's false. It's true this morning. There's going to be many churches that meet this morning. Some will preach the truth of the Word of God and preach the truth of salvation. Hopefully that message is given. Hopefully those that are there will hear so that they can understand that they have a need and the need is salvation. You got to incline your ear and you've got to hear the message that's going to be delivered unto them. Now, that message is twofold. Number one, you've got to give the right message. And I'm afraid this morning there are going to be people that give a message that's not true to the Word of God. And when the wrong message is given, and even though the people that sit in the pews do their part and they hear and they incline their ear, but they hear a false doctrine and a false message, then they're going to have a false hope. You know, it's so important that we understand in the day and age that we live in, we must stay true to the Word of God. But oh, how so many doctrines have been changed and they've rewritten it and they've kind of reworked it and so forth. And many times in churches today, people will come into an auditorium or a church sanctuary, if you want to call it that, and they get a message, but the message is not right. That's why we got to give the right message. And hopefully and prayerfully, as the message is given out, that there'll be someone that will listen and they'll incline their ears and they will hear the message that is given. And the message must be the salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the only one that can save. It's a free gift that's offered to all of mankind. There's not money that's required. There's not works that's required. It's going to be a free gift offered unto all that will receive. Verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." We get to verse number 4. "Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people." Know about that covenant made with David and so forth. Verse number 5. "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not," and you'll find in verse number 5, and I'm going to actually skim over verse number 5. It's basically saying here, this message, this offer of salvation, if you would, is going to be for all nations, for anyone that will incline and hear and accept the message of salvation. Anybody can be saved. That was very, very important, because at some points in history, there were many that believed only certain ones could be saved, that Gentiles couldn't be saved. But as we study the Word of God, you'll find that salvation is offered for all people, for all nations. It doesn't matter what nation you come from. This offer is for you as well. So the message here in verse number 5, it is for all nations. And then we get to verse number 6. Now, verse 6, we'll spend just a couple extra minutes here maybe on this verse. Verse 6 is a very interesting verse. We're going to kind of discuss it a little bit, and I'll kind of maybe give you my opinion, and that's all that it is. It's just my opinion, and my opinion is not worth very much. The Bible says in verse number 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Now, I think everybody in this room has probably heard a lot of different messages about salvation. All right, let me ask you a question. Is salvation for anyone? Is it yes or no? Yes. Can anybody be saved? Yes. All right. But then we get down to the technical aspect of actually being saved. This verse implies that the call of God may not always be extended to everyone. Have you ever heard preachers preach and say that, you know, you don't get saved when you want to, you get saved when God calls? Has anybody ever heard that? All right? And I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just trying to give you some foundation here, and we'll kind of decide. You decide for your own self anyway. I've heard preachers preach this, that you can get saved anywhere you want to, anytime you want to, and I believe that to be true. I believe that to be true. But then on the other hand, I hear sometimes it's preached that you don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when God saves you. And so sometimes what I'm trying to say, it can be a little conflicting, a little confusing sometimes in how it's worded. And I'm not saying one's right and one's wrong here, but I am saying this. I do know this. According to verse number 6 and verse number 7, too, I'll throw that in here. And let's see here, verse number 6 and verse number 7.
I do know this, that through this message here of Isaiah, that he's encouraging everyone to seek God while he can be found. While he is calling, you better answer that call. But does that mean that there are times when maybe God's not calling? Is it possible that there is maybe God is tugging at the heart of an individual to be saved and making them realize you need salvation, but maybe that person doesn't get saved? Maybe that person keeps putting God off and putting God off, or telling God no and telling God no. Is there going to be a point to where God says, okay, then you do it your way, and he passes them by? You understand what I'm trying to get at this morning? There's a fine line there, and to be honest with you, I don't know exactly where that line is drawn in the sand. Let's do this. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs chapter number 1, and let's look at something here. Proverbs chapter number 1, chapter 1 of Proverbs. I want to read the part of the chapter here. What is it? 33 verses in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse number 24. Because I have called and you refused. It's talking about God calls, but the individual does not respond in a way of accepting this call here of God. He says in verse number 24, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. God does different things. They still don't respond. Verse number 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they had knowledge and did not choose to fear the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So even in the book of Proverbs, we were taught here, and we could even look at Ephraim in the Bible and how that God tried to get him to turn, but yet he wouldn't, so God just basically takes his hands off him. God even did it at times with Israel as well, where he does all that he can to bring them back unto him, but they refuse, and he kind of just takes his hands off and let them go their own way through destruction, if you would. And that's a little bit of salvation. You know, here's what I want to get at this morning, and I guess here's where I'm at. I honestly believe that salvation is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that. I don't believe that I get saved on my ways and my plan and doing it my way on my time. I believe salvation comes through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And I honestly believe this, is there's not a working of the Holy Spirit of God in an individual's life, there cannot be salvation. Now, we often may refer to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Conviction. And anytime you hear the word conviction, our minds automatically think of it in a bad, negative way. But when you really think about it, conviction is a wonderful thing. I mean, conviction is the evidence that, you know what, God's at work. The Holy Spirit of God is working. It's evidence of the working of God. It's the evidence of the love of God that God has for us. That's why there is conviction in life. I know this, when the Holy Spirit of God convicts you, when there is a drawing, we hear preachers maybe use the words the calling of God or the conviction of God or the drawing. You hear that word, if you would. And when that happens in a person's life, here's where I'm at. You better answer that call. All of us this morning could maybe get up and give a testimony of when we were saved. I personally didn't get saved the first time I was convicted. I've heard people say that they were.
We'll just do a survey. How many of you this morning, that as far as your mind can think backwards a little bit, would say that you got saved the first time you felt conviction in your heart that you needed to be saved, and you responded immediately right off the bat, very first time you got saved? Anybody like that this morning? Bradley, we got two maybe, I guess, in the whole crowd. How many did not get saved? You got saved later, you just didn't get saved immediately when you were first convicted. Raise your hand. That would be me. All right? Majority of all of us did not get saved the very first time we were convicted of that. If we go back here to Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse. Let's read verse number 6 again. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon, he says here. Now, I'm not going to say what you need to believe and what you don't believe about verse number 6 and 7. But it does imply here, you better answer the call when he's near. Right? So that does tell me that, you know what, there could be a time when God is not near. Am I right? But now we all believe God's everywhere. Everywhere we go, God's there. Is that right? We preach and teach, and we'll even joke maybe at times or two, you can run all you want to, and you can go hide everywhere you want to, but everywhere you go, you're going to find out God's right there. You cannot leave the presence of God. But now we have to understand here that Isaiah is dealing with the calling that God has on an individual. And you're going to find in the entire chapter, we're talking about the call of salvation. And what Isaiah is saying here is, you better listen to me, he says in verse number 1. That word ho, H-O, means you better give an ear. You better not miss one word. You better pay very good attention to what I'm about to say, because Isaiah is going to talk to him about salvation, an eternal salvation. And he gets to verse number 6 and he says, and you better answer that call when he calls, while he is near, or while he may be found, if you would, in verse number 6. Call ye upon him while he is near. I'll give an illustration this way, and I'm sure Brother Richardson can give you a million illustrations as well, that an individual that you know is lost comes to a service, sits in a pew, and you know they're under conviction, but you know what? They don't respond. And they leave, and you never see them again. Now, it's not saying they couldn't get saved maybe somewhere else, or maybe later in life, or the next day, or the next week, or the next month, or 5, 10 years later. It's not saying that they can't get saved, but you know what? It's very dangerous to hear that call of God and that convicting of the Holy Spirit of God upon your heart, and you refuse that. You know what? You may not get another opportunity. That's how important the message of salvation is. And that's why that Isaiah begins the entire chapter with that one little bitty word, H-O. It's only found 3 times in all the Word of God, saying, you better pay attention. You better answer in verse number 6. And you better heed that call while God is near. And while, as he goes on in verse number 6 as well, and says, call ye upon him while he is near, which implies that there could be times when he's not going to maybe put that calling, and there's not going to be that conviction. You know, let's be honest this morning. Everybody knows, and anybody that's ever been raised in church long enough knows, that if they're under conviction about something, our minds will tell us, if I can just make it through the end of this service and get out of here, it will kind of relieve a little bit. Right? Have you ever felt that way? That, you know, I know that I need to change. I know that I'm wrong. I know, you know, come on, preacher, give up. I mean, just let off a little bit. I understand. But my mind also tells me, yeah, he'll be done here in a few minutes.
And the invitation will be done, and if he's on time, we'll be out of here about what time? We'll get out of here. What time are we going to get out this morning, too, by the way, Brother R? About 12:05, 12:10, something like that. And we all know that, hey, at 12:10, we'll be out of here. I'll be in my car, and I'll be in a restaurant by about 12:20 and so forth. And you know what? The way I feel, it won't be that way when I get there. Would you agree to that? Now, I'm not saying that conviction can't happen outside of church, and that's a whole different story in itself, and I'm getting way off track maybe a little bit here, but what I'm saying is this. Let's be honest. There are times and places where the conviction of God is heavier, right? I mean, we could all leave here this morning under conviction, but boy, we know as soon as I get to that car, we can turn on a radio, or I can get home and turn on the television. I can get involved in this. I can go to the restaurant, get my mind off of it. And if we can get our minds off of it a little bit, and guess what? That conviction that's very heavy right now will be a lot lighter once we can get down the road a little bit. And what Isaiah is trying to tell the people, you better heed this call. You better answer while he is near. And you can kind of, you know, I've heard preachers say that there's people that's outlived that conviction that God had in their life, and maybe they didn't answer and God passed them by and there's no hope for them. I'm not saying that this morning. I believe this. If a man's breathing air, there's probably some hope. And hopefully somewhere conviction comes back. And hopefully that conviction is working in that person's life, but that person has to decide if they're going to call or not. You see, the gifts, the salvation is free. There's no price in verse number one. There's no work that you've got to do to attain it. All you got to do is call on it. But you better call while he is near. When that working of the Holy Spirit is working, when that conviction is present in your heart. Because you know what? I just believe this, and this is just my personal opinion, and it's not worth anything this morning. But when you get past the calling, the drawing, and the speaking of the Holy Spirit of God, you're not going to have salvation. You better answer when God is present, when God is speaking, when God is calling, when God is drawing, if you would. And by the way, the best time to get saved is right now. Hey, the best day of salvation is today. It's not something we need to put off. It's not something we need to wait. I've had people say, well, you know, let me think about it. And I understand their reasoning behind that, but I've responded, you know, it's not anything to think about. I mean, it's pretty plain. God spells it out in his word. Well, let me pray about it. You don't have to pray about being saved, dear friend. We all know that as a believer and as someone who is saved, that it's not something you got to think about. It's not something you need to pray about. It's just something you need to do. You need to call upon the Lord. But anyway, I spend a little bit too much time there. But verse 6 is a kind of a well-known verse in this chapter, and a lot of preachers use that and will use that if they're going to preach about salvation to a crowd. They may use this verse and trying to convince those that are convicted that need to be saved that you don't need to put it off. You don't need to wait till tomorrow. You don't need to wait till next week, because next week you may not be under conviction. And it may not be that God's calling you at that time. So you need to get saved right now, today. And there's nothing wrong with that, because the best time to get saved is right now. The best day to get saved is today. It's not something that needs to be put off. Let me look here real quickly. Let's see here. Look at verse number 8, also a very well-known verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 7, or I should say verse number 8 and verse number 9 very easy, I think, to understand. God is far above man's thoughts, and he's far above man's ways. And, this morning, I'm glad God's that way. I'm glad that God's thoughts, if you would, as I find it here, are not my thoughts. Are you not glad this morning God's a whole lot smarter than you are? You know, I'm glad that God's ways are not my ways.
God is far above my thoughts and God is far above my ways. And I'm glad. I'm glad that God is God this morning. You'll find also interesting to me, verse number 10 and 11 is going to use an illustration as well, talking about the message of God being delivered to mankind. And in verse number 10 and 11, I've never really thought about it this way until I was studying this morning. There were some points put in my one of my teacher's books and so forth, and I had a different commentary that I was using as well, and I've never really noticed verse number 10 and 11. Look at verse number 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven. So we all know this morning that if it rains today, it falls from where? All right, who sends the rain? God does. The snow that falls as well. Who makes it snow in the wintertime? God does. Verse number 11, it says, verse number 10, for as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. All right, so I'm talking about this rain and the snow that comes from heaven, it comes to this earth, and it comes for a reason and for a purpose. You'll find here that it gives, what's the purpose of it? It says in verse number 10, it maketh it bring forth and bud, talking about the earth. It watereth the earth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So verse 10, verse number 11, they're intertwined. They're combined here, if you would. Verse number 11 is basically, verse 10 is the illustration that you were given. Verse number 11 is telling you that verse 10 is basically talking about the message of God. You'll find here in verse number 11 that it goes on and says, it shall not return unto me what? Void. What does it mean? It means this. The message of God, now in Isaiah chapter 55, we're dealing with the message of salvation, how the message of God is given to mankind. It's like rain given. It's like snow that is given to the earth and how that it give forth plants and makes things grow and it refreshes the earth, if you would. That's what the message of God does. It's given out to mankind, and it does not return unto him void, he says here in verse number 11. It goes on to say in verse number 11, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So we find here the message of salvation is like rain, it's like snow that God sends from heaven. It replenishes the earth. The same is true of the word of God. It's given out. And when the message is given out, it's given out for a purpose. It gives spiritual growth, if you would. It accomplishes its purpose. Now, the message of salvation is what the chapter is dealing with. The message of salvation is given to mankind. It's given to mankind for a reason and for a purpose. It's given so that the hearer that hears the message may respond and heed that call, answer the call of God, say yes to Christ for salvation, and then that message goes back to heaven, and it's not void. How many times has the message of salvation been preached in the history of mankind? There's no way of knowing. There are times that you may give the message out to a coworker, a family member, a complete stranger somewhere. How many times we ate at a restaurant the other night when we paid, my wife put a tract there on the table and so forth. There's no way of knowing if that has an effect on someone. But every now and then, no doubt somewhere down the road, somebody may read a gospel tract. What is that? That's the message of God from the beginning of time that is still the message given out to mankind. It replenishes the earth. It can give spiritual refreshment, if you would. It can give spiritual growth to someone. And when that takes place, guess what? It returns back to God and it's not void. It has a purpose. It has a reason. Now, sometimes we get a little sidetracked and we kind of get a little bit negative and we think, yeah, you know, boy, you just give it out, the message out, and you give it out and give it out. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody accepts and so forth.
I've got news for you. God's message has a purpose and a reason. I'm afraid sometimes we're so hung up on how many respond or how many don't respond. That's not what is important this morning. My job is not to save anyone this morning. My job is just to give the message out, and they have to decide whether they're going to heed the call or not, and whether they're going to put a listening ear to the message or not, and they respond yes or no, but that's not up to me. My job is just to give the message out. I can't make anybody get saved this morning, nor can you this morning. It's their own choice. They have a free will this morning. And by the way, folks are being saved around this world. There's just some places that are a little bit more fertile than other places. I think I've used this illustration here before in Sunday school a little bit. Let's be honest, this morning, if we had $200,000 this morning to invest somewhere to try to reach people with the gospel, and we wanted to have a big impact, and you wanted to see a big return on that, and I'm not saying it's right or whether it's wrong this morning, but there's going to be some areas of this world where there's probably going to be a better response than others. You take the Philippines this morning. I have no doubts this morning. You invest $200,000 in the Philippines, you're going to get some response. They're very open to the gospel. Now, if you try to do that in London, it's not going to be as easy. Does it mean that people in London don't need to be saved? The message is still very important, whether it's in London or the Philippines. And I don't decide really where the message is going. To be honest with you, the only place that I think that I'm required to get the and I don't know that I can say that. That's probably a false statement. Don't let me say that. The Bible tells me that I am to go into all the what? The what? The world. So God wants what to be saved? God wants the whole world to be saved. Is that true? Well, I got news for you. I can't be everywhere at the same time. Right? Has anybody ever been to Africa in here? Anybody? Nobody? Philippines? I know there's several. You've been to Australia. You've been to Israel. Who else has been somewhere foreign? Now, you've been in the service. Where all have you been? You've been to the Philippines. I remember you talking about that the other day. Where else? Okay, all right. Other side of the world, pretty much. Well, are you been? Well, where have you been? You been to the Philippines? You been to Mexico? Anybody else been somewhere? Romania. Where else? Japan. Where else? Okay, all right. Nobody's been to Africa. Has anybody been to Germany? You been to Germany? You been to Germany? Denmark. Okay. You were in service too, right? Okay. Nobody's been to Africa. Has anybody ever looked at the globe and realized how large Africa is? How many people live in Africa? So if the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel, then have we fulfilled our commitment? We haven't been there, so I don't know that we've actually done what God's told us to do. That's why we have missions. That's why we fall back and say, okay, I can't be everywhere, but you know what? I can give some maybe monthly, I can give some weekly, and I can help support missionaries that can go out, and we extend out through missions around the world, and that's very scriptural and very doctrinally sound according to the Word of God. But you know what? Sometimes we get a little all tied up on reaching the world, but we don't realize that we live in the world. And if we understand the Word of God correctly, it's our job to give the message out where we're at. That's why it's important that we not only give to missions, but that we do our part as well in telling people in Madisonville, Kentucky, that they need to be saved. Oh, they don't want to hear. That's not the point this morning. Whether they hear or whether they listen or whether they'll answer that call, that doesn't mean anything to us this morning because we don't control that part. The only thing that I can control this morning is just giving the message out. Now, if we really believe the Word of God like we say we do, the Bible tells me that when that message is given out, that it will not return what? You can't tell me that giving out the message of salvation in the year 2017 in Madisonville, Kentucky is not important. It's just as important as the missionary that's in the Philippines this morning. We're so hung up on who's going to hear and what their response is going to be or how they'll respond or how they'll treat us and all they don't want to hear. You know, we need to get all that thought process out of our minds and realize the only responsibility that we have this morning is just to give the message out. God takes care of the rest. Will all of them hear? No. Will all respond that do hear? No. Will everyone be saved? No. But that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility this morning is to give the message of salvation out. You'll find, and I'm done, but you'll find out in verse number 12 and 13, it talks about how there's joy, there's singing as well mentioned in verse 12 and verse 13 because of the redemption of God, those who do respond and call on that message, if you would, of salvation, you'll find that because of that, of the redemption of God, His people can sing, they can have joy, they can have happiness, and that's the only way you're ever going to have happiness is by saying yes to the call of God. When's the best day to say yes? Today's the best day. When's the best time? Right now is the best time. Because you don't know what the next hour holds in your life. You know, we often say, you don't know what tomorrow holds. I've got news for you. You don't know what the next 10 minutes holds. You don't know what the next minute's going to hold. Now, I'll finish with this. I can't make anybody trust Christ as their Savior, and I can't make anybody get saved. I wished everybody that would hear would respond in a positive way and be saved, but I can't make people do anything. God never designed for it, never intended for it to be that way. But we need to realize this morning how that we actually hold in our own possession a message like no other message. That's why Isaiah used the word H-O at the beginning of verse number 1. You don't want to miss anything about what I'm about to tell you. Because what I'm going to tell you is the most important thing you're ever going to hear in your lifetime. And that message is the message of salvation. Hopefully, they'll hear, they'll respond while God is calling. Who's under conviction? By the way, we have no idea in this world who's under conviction, who wants to hear, who needs to hear. I can't see inside of them. I don't know what's going on inside their life. All I can do is just say, here's a gospel tract. Here, let me tell you about what's happened to me in my life. Let me tell you about what God's done for me. That's all I can do. And then they have to decide how they respond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray for your blessings upon our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.